praise you for the day now that you've given to us here. We thank you, Father, for the beauty of the day. We thank you for the breath of life that you've given to us that we could be here, and for your leading, guiding, and directing in just all things that you do for us. We thank you for it. Thank and praise you now, Father, for the many things that you show us about the family in your Bible, and we just ask, Lord, that you would just help us here today. We need your help. We need you. We need your guidance and direction. And Father, we just ask you would just teach us, enlighten us today here, Father, just in some of the things that we're going to be talking about here. So we uplift that to you. We hold that before you, and we ask for your help. We ask you would be with the service to follow, and that the message for us here, Father, that we could just learn from it, that we could grow, that we be enlightened also with that, and then for the meeting to follow, and just all things that just help us to do that's pleasing to you. We praise you for it. Thank you, Father, for the great God that you are, and that you are the true God, Father, and we thank you, Father, that we can worship you. Praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thing seems to be. I don't know where I left off. My mind is sort of a little bit like Corby said here just last week. There's so much going through your mind. I know where I think I left off, but I'm just going to start something new here. I have a lesson that I was put together for last week, and I just decided to hold off on that just for a little bit. And it's about the family, and I just want to, it's something that I am going to do, I am going to give you, but I just want to wait till I feel that the time's right for it. Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3 says, "Children, obey your parents for in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth." We're going to call this guy, his name's going to be Howard. Howard had a son. He suffered minimal brain damage whenever during infancy as he was young. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to start going through the stages of a child's life, if you want to call it. We're going to start from infancy to childhood right now. But anyhow, Howard's son, he suffered this here brain damage, like, and he was retarded, like, not completely, but he had a retardation that developed in him. Now, as he was growing up, from a child, from a baby up, as he was growing up, his dad would always talk to him, and his mother also, about the Lord. They would pray with him. They would teach him. They just kept after it. They kept teaching him the different aspects of it and the ways of God. At 3.5 years old, he still couldn't talk. But the boy, but still his parents kept talking to him, kept teaching, kept training him in the Lord, you know. Teach him in the Bible, teaching him Bible verses, teaching him, you know, the different aspects of life, even taking him to Sunday school and church and letting him be taught there. So they weren't sure, but they just kept shepherding in this way, and they just didn't know what he could understand, what he could learn, or anything like that there. But one day, the boy required some discipline and correction. And his dad, Howard, was bewildered because he didn't know how to try to explain to him, you know, that he needed, you know, discipline for some things that he did wrong. And as he was going through this process of communicating to the boy, his son spoke the first words to him. He intervened. He said, "Pray, Daddy. Now, don't tell me that you can't start from small age and start training from that time on up." Even though somebody here, this boy, and this was a true story, this boy was retarded, he still knew about God and the different aspects of it. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I want you to keep in mind that story about this boy as we're going through this here, you know, as training and starting. So the first stages of development. Infancy to childhood. It compasses the period from birth to ages 4 or 5. And you could if you want to call it this way, and I think it's true, there is change from infancy to childhood, no doubt about it. And parents, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to have children. Most of you, mostly all of you, have gone through that. You know what it's like from birth. Can a child manipulate you from birth? How can they do that? We're gonna talk here today. So, how can they do that? Give me some things. Anybody? So what do you do about it?
You let
them
cry.
Is that a terrible thing? What do you think the world would say out here if you did something like that and you told them that? They would be, boy, wouldn't they be coming against you because you did something terrible by just letting that baby cry? He did the same thing with his daughters. Don't let them fool you. I know that for a fact, you know. He did that same thing. But yes, they can, and they will manipulate you. You start off with this little baby that you either you brought home or, in your case, you delivered them at home, okay? But you start off with them as, you know, that little baby. They are helpless. Am I right or am I wrong? They can't hold their head up. They can't do nothing. But they will let you know when they are hungry. They will let you know if they have a dirty diaper. And they will also let you know that, you know, I want held or, you know, because as soon as you pick them up, what happens? Boy, they shut right up, don't they? They don't cry. They don't do nothing. And the manipulation process starts right there. They start manipulating you. Now, at first you think, oh, that poor little thing, you know. Like, I just can't let it cry, as you just heard. I can't let that poor little thing cry. So I got to pick it up. But it's the, if you want to call it the spoiling process right there, you know. They're spoiled. They will manipulate you. They will do these different aspects of life, you know. I was trying to think, and I wanted to ask you, and I forgot about it. Was it all three, or just one of them that where we had to get up at night and rock them because they had that cough? Yeah, Chad. Okay, she says it's Chad. Practically every night, and I knew my wife was getting so tired. I mean, I was working, I was tired. She wasn't working at the time, but she was so tired of getting up. And I tried it one night. Ay, 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 ay. Man, oh man, you get up and you rock and you rock and you rock and you rock, you know. Finally, they go to sleep. You put them down, they start it right in again, so you pick them back up and you rock, you know. I understand there was a problem there, but still, you know, there was a manipulation there that, as far as I care, you know, that child knew that they would do that, you know. So they do manipulate you. Don't get me wrong. You know it. A lot of you know it. You know just exactly what I'm talking about, you know. So like you say, we have this child. They can't do nothing. You've got to help them do it all. They can't roll over. They can't lift their head. They can't sit. They can't do none of this stuff. But, you know, it just seems like, and it seems to me now, even older that I get, it seems like these children today, just as they just start in weeks and then in months, all of a sudden they start this change that's in them. You know, they change. Their body changes, you know, and they're starting to get stronger. You see the first thing, you hear the parents saying, wow, man, they're lifting their head. They can hold their head up by themselves now. Then all of a sudden you hear them, they're sitting up, you know, You know, and I've been watching this in my grandkids just recently, you know, of this development, especially Gabby, our youngest of them right now. And she just seemed to, you know, within months, she started getting stronger and stronger. You could just see it, and you could just see her sitting up. You could just see her starting to pick at things, you know, objects and stuff like that there. You could see these things happening, taking place. And then all of a sudden, it comes to the point, you know, where they can all of a sudden, they're starting to crawl. And then they start doing these different things, you know, crawling. Then all of a sudden, man, they get up and take a couple steps. You help them, you know, and you keep helping them. And all of a sudden, bam, it just seemed like she started going, whoo, just like that there. And she tries to stay with her brothers now, you know, stay up with her brothers. She tries to run. She flips and falls sometimes. But, you know, it's still, you know, it's that change that's in a child as they're growing. Their sin nature is there too. And always keep that in mind. They need. There's things that they need, you know, when it comes to that with this sin nature. But so they have that physical change. Okay, that's the first thing that there is, the physical change. The next thing is they got a social change, and it's just as radical. Their social, their relationship with their mother. Now, ladies, I'm going to ask you. I don't know if you will admit it or not, but how many of you, as you were carrying your baby, talked to that baby? Sure, you did. I'll tell you what, that baby, as soon as that baby was born, he or she knew your voice. Definitely, they knew your voice. They know their mother's voice. And then after a while, they get, you know, their father's there. Their father's picking them up. Their father's talking to them. They know their mother and father's voice. But it gets, as they get a little older, somebody else strange comes along and they pick them up. And what happens? They start crying. Sometimes some of them throw fits, you know, and things like that there. But as soon as you give them to their father or their mother, everything's fine. It's a change. It's a social change that they have, you know. And then finally it starts to, you know, widen out there a little bit. You know, some family members can pick them up. Some strangers can pick them up, you know. And then it's starting to get, you know, as the social change goes, by four or five, they have even friends, you know. They get around some other kids, you know, and then they want to be around some other kids. They start to get friends and things like that there. So there's a social change. So you have the physical change and you have the social change, you know, in them. These are the primary characteristics, you know, of a child as they're growing up, and it's a change. It's a change that they have, you know. You have the next thing, the intellectual change, and it's just as dramatic. The child is a meaning maker. He hears language and he generates from that language. And it's something. You think about it. We have our English language. And it's something how that child can pick up the grammar and all those kind of things, you know. But if it be, you know, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, or whatever it is, they pick that up. You know, they pick that up. I was talking to Phil Cahill here the other day, and he was telling me how his daughter, Nora, she actually has picked up Spanish, and she can talk to her grandmother when her grandmother comes here, and she's actually teaching her grandmother some English. Now, a little girl like that there is doing things like that. You see, it's that intellectual change that they have and how they can pick it up so fast. If you wanted me to pick up, my great-grandfather, and my grandfather did, my dad did a little bit, but my great-grandfather, there was this here old guy that lived back in the mountains from where his place was. He'd come out, in and out every day. He'd walk out the mountains, come back. My great-grandfather would be sitting on the porch, and them two would sit there and start talking. Pennsylvania Dutch, Never knew one word that they were saying. Never picked it up. Don't know. Picked up a few little things, but that was it, you know. I couldn't understand it. The same way with you today. If somebody came to you, unless you have learned a little bit of the language, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, or whatever it might be, you have no idea what they're saying. But a little child, it's something how they can pick up these things. They pick up the mistakes, you know, in this learning experience that they have with this, and their curiosity kind of abounds too, also, doesn't it? As a child, as this child is growing, you know, as you see this child growing, you know, their curiosity abounds. Things like, why do doors turn on hinges? You know, they ask you questions. I bet you could give me a lot of questions, couldn't you? What might be some of them questions?
Mason does it with everything we say. Every sentence you say to him, he asks you why. So I switched around one time when he was staring at this, and I kept asking him. And he'd say a question, and then he finally said, Mimi, why are you doing that to me?
you've all gone through it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, their curiosity abounds. They you know, why do things fall to the ground? You know, you just questions like that. There, this is a good one. Can people see me when I close my eyes? Yeah. No, they can't see you. No. The child, you know, they're getting to the stage now where you know that they can learn, they're learning to talk more, they can count, they can tease, they can be funny, you know, and they can also be serious, you know. They learn these different kind of values. We do a lot of FaceTiming on the iPad to Pam was saying there, Mason and the kids out there, you know, in Woodland. And Mason had the iPad last night, you know, and he knew he had it. And he wants to take you, every time that he gives it, he takes you a tour through the house. But yet, in the middles of these tours, you know, we have these funny faces that we put on. And then he'll say, Mimi, see that funny face, you know, or something like that there, you know. They know these values. They learn these different values, you know, of it. Of course, it doesn't help when there's some kind of a thing that you can put on the iPad where you can make your face distraught and it goes all over the place. Your eyes are big, your nose is big, your ears, whatever it is. And that don't help matters either because they love to do them kind of things, and especially their Mimi has to do it to them. So, you know. There's these different things. And it's amazing to me how that they can pick up on things today. These kids today just, you know, it surprises me. I don't like it a whole lot, but it is a learning process form too, and there's things on there that you can do it, but these iPads and things, how they can pick them up, turn them on, punch in the stuff that they want, and just do, play games, whatever. I think there's some learning things on there now where you can, they teach you to count, they teach you, you know, to spell and all those kind of things, which isn't a bad thing, you know, that way. But they learn these things. You know, the intellect of kids today just seems to be so much more outstanding to me, you know, than anything else. They learn these values. So this is a change. It's a change that's in them. You have the physical change, the social change, the intellectual change, and the spiritual change is the next one. They develop spiritually. They develop that shepherding along the lines of the Bible and of God. You need to start putting it into them. To be honest with you, from day one, you know, as they see parents, you know, reading their Bibles, having family time together, teaching them verses from the Bible. Different aspects like that there. They have a spiritual change. And you can lead them to God, which that's who they need to understand, that that's where we all get our guidance from. We should be all getting our guidance from. you know, from Jehovah God, and to worship him, you know, bringing them to church, teaching them the Word of God, teaching them the Bible, and things like that. It's a shame out here. It's a shame that there's so many people out here that don't know the Lord, and they bring their children up to not know the Lord. The Creator, the one that's given you the breath of life, the one that can take your breath of life, you know. He's the Creator. He's the one that created us. And it's something that we need to do. We need to do these different aspects of this change that's in them, that's as they're starting from day one to, say, like I said, four or five, somewhere in that vicinity, you know, that you can teach these things. And that's the valuable time to teach them, you know. That's when you teach them, you know. You start that out in an early age. You don't wait till they're a teenager to teach them. You don't do that, because you've got what you got then. It's too late. You know, it's too late. Oh, you can try. You may try, but there's going to be very few of them that you're going to change. You're not going to change much in them, you know. So, you know, we need to do these things. And the rapid change, like I said, they start at these early years. And parents need to take advantage of this. Many parents think that their kindergarten children are geniuses. You know, they have to be, they say, you know. The things that they do, the things that they pick up, you know, they're a genius, you know. They've learned so much in such a short period of time. And parents are sure there's no limit to the child's capacity. Well, that might be true. That might not be true, you know. It just depends. It just depends on that child and the learning process, you know, and what we teach them and what we learn from them, you know, or what they learn from us, is what I'm trying to say here. So, you know, this is something, you know, infancy to childhood, you know. It's a very, very, very important time. That's what I'm trying to get across to you, you know. That's why I told you that story in the first place there. Someone that has a retarded capacity still can be taught. They can learn, you know. So why not teach our children, you know, from that time on? Okay, questions or comments so far? All right. There's lessons that we need to focus on as we're training. Where should we put our energies? Where do you think we should put our energies in the training process? From just this age, from birth till then, what do you think about this? You older people that went through it, what did you do? How did you train them? Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Instant obedience.
What do you mean instant?
You shouldn't have to keep trying and over and over.
All these are good answers so far. Anybody else? Come on, you got to think here today. Can't let me only talk.
Consistency.
Consistency in your training. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Very good. That's right. That's right. You've got to, you know. what you say, you better stick by it. Because if you don't, there comes the manipulation, buddy. They know how to handle you right quick.
A lot of times when you're disciplined, you say, all right, I count to three. One, two, three. They'll say, some of them will say that. They're a little bit older. They'll count to three for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let that go.
That's right. All good answers. Come on, there's other ones here. Anybody else? Well, the most important lesson here, which I'm going to go over the first one, and she hit it right here, right? Authority. Now, we've talked about authority, but we're going to talk about it again here a little bit. They have to realize that he's an individual under authority. It's their authority. It's been made by God and has a responsibility to obey God in all things. And we need to teach them that. You know, it's just not our authority, because where does our authority come from? God. So they've got to respect, they got to learn to respect God and his authority, and then they will respect our authority as we teach them that. And that's our thing, you know. And here's the key passage, which I read to you. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 6:1, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that they may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, God has this. Obedience is a response to God. Children must learn that they have to be made, they've been made by God, and they need to be obedient to God. They have a duty. He has the right to rule them. They owe him obedience. And that comes right through us as our teaching, as we teach them. Your children will never submit to you without this truth. And how true that is. They won't submit to you. You know, you may think they're submitting to you, but they can play games with you. They're very good at it. How did you do when you were a child? Think about it when you were a child, some of the things that you did, you know. And so, you know, they can make it look good on the outside, but what's on the inside that counts? They never see these living terms in bringing glory to God. They like to be self-absorbent, and, you know, the prime objects of worship is in the world. Submission to earthly authority is a specific application of being a creature under God's authority. I'm going to read that again. Submission to earthly authority is a specific application of being a creature under God's authority. A child will never submit to you unless they're under God's authority. A wife will never submit to you, men, unless she's under God's authority. Men, you will never submit to God unless you are under God's authority. We need to be and understand that we are under God's authority. And we need to submit to that, you know. And submission to God's authority may seem distant, but mom and dad's there, and they're present. They're the ones that's present. They're the ones that's teaching this. And obedience to God is reflected in a child growing understanding of obedience to parents. So, you know, being obedient to parents here, and he points this out here, you know, of the same thing here, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See there what he says? Get that? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So they have to obey the parents that's in the Lord. There's lessons that can be firmly taught this, you know, as they're growing up here in their early stages. You know, there's principles that have this. The guy that I'm taking these lessons from, he said that they had a teenage driver, and they were concerned about the car becoming a social environment, you know. So they had to be under parental control. They wanted this boy to understand that he was not allowed to call anybody with them. unless their parents gave him the authority to do it. If he was supposed, if he was going someplace, he was to go straight there and straight back. You know, that's that was some of the guidelines that he had to have. If the rules were to change, they expected him to call them and ask them whether he could say he wanted to take a friend with him or something like that that he found out here. They would have to decide whether they wanted that to happen or not. If he wanted to go to a different place or he wouldn't get home in time, they wanted him to understand that he would have to call and ask permission. You know, they wanted this parental control, you know, of their teen for him, for this driving, so that this driving just didn't become something. And listen, when you're a teenager, when you're 16, guys, you know just exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, when you get your driver's license, well, I mean, man, you want that first car. You know what it's like, you know. It's pretty neat, you know, to have that first car, especially if you're in school. Man, you can get down there to the stop sign, and when you get out in that main road, you can just lay the rubber, and you can just squeal the tires and make the girls scream. No. But it happens. Don't tell me it doesn't, because you know that it did. You know, you guys, and the pastor's sitting here with a smirky smile on his face. I know. He was a little bit like, well, he wasn't like me. Like me, I was very good at these kind of things. I know he drove a race car and stuff like that too, so I always wanted to get into that but never did. But anyhow, you know, we had kids in our school, you know, where their parents, you know, they had the money. And we had two especially. The one's dad was a salesman, a car salesman, and he got him a brand new car while we were still in school yet. I mean, you know, first of all, he didn't teach him nothing by doing that. And then this other kid, his dad got him the same kind of car because they were friends, you know, and this other dad gave him a good thing, you know. And they like to rip and tear, you know, and they like to do these different kind of things, you know. And here I was in school, and I was building my own car. I didn't have much money, and I got mine from a junkyard. Had to be a stupid Chevy. But anyhow, the 62 Chevy, and it was wrecked. I had to jack the body off of it, pull the frame out from underneath it because the frame was bent so bad, rip everything off of that, take the motor and everything off of that, get a new frame, put all that stuff back together, slam that back under the car, put it back down together, got it ready to paint, and I couldn't, that was just something that I didn't do at that particular time, and then my brother was going with running around with a kid that his dad had a body shop, and so he painted it for me. But, you know, there I was, this 62 Chevy, six-cylinder automatic. You give it the gas, and it would go, you know, you couldn't do nothing with it, you know, and stuff. And then there was my brother and all his buddies and stuff, all the guys that we ran around with, you know, they had these here little Ford Fairlanes and Falcons and stuff, you know, and, buddy, they could just go through the gears and make them old tires howl and stuff, and I couldn't do it. Well, I found out how to do it. I knew how to do it. You could go down the road 55 mile an hour and throw it in reverse, buddy. I could lay the longest black mark you could do. So I did that one night with a bunch of guys in with me. As a teenager, you know. With a bunch of guys in with me. And I did that three times, and the third time, didn't do it anymore. But the car didn't back up anymore either. I ripped the transmission out of it. So, you know. You learn these kind of lessons, you know. You learn these kind of lessons. Your dad tries to teach you, gentlemen. The parents tried to teach you when you were growing up, you know. These things can cost you money. But, you know, sometimes you got to learn the hard way, don't you, Pastor? That's just the way it is, you know. When you're young like that, when you're a teenager like that, you know, you got to learn the hard way. And parents, like I said, parents, like they teach you, you know. We were a little strict with our kids when they got their driver's license and stuff too, you know, with teenagers and stuff, which we're going to be getting into. We're going to be talking about the teenagers and stuff anyhow. But we were, you know, we wanted, you know, to have a little control over some different things, you know, and things like that there. So, you know, you have to do these things, you know, you have to do these things. But it all starts when they're younger, you know, you teaching them, you training them, them knowing God's authority, they're knowing that submitting to God so that they can submit to you. You know, you want that submission. You want them to understand. And this guy said that his boy, from his knowledge, as far as he knew, he never went against them, never did nothing that he wasn't supposed to do, you know. And he trusted them. See, there's a trust that gets built between a parent and a child. You know, and you get that trust built, you know, the way that it's supposed to be, you know, and you don't have to worry about it, you know. You don't have to worry about what they're doing and what's going on out here. And today, I just to bring this up to you guys, just even talking to a guy the other day there again about this, there is so much dope and garbage like that out here today, you know, you better be bringing your child up the right way. I'm telling you, you better. This area here is bad. Believe it or not, this area here is bad. There's a lot of dope. There's a lot of things going around here. There's a lot of stealing. There's a lot of breaking into houses and things like that there. You see, this is parents that's bringing up children and not doing what they're supposed to be doing, not following the guidelines from the book here, from God's Word, and not following these guidelines. This children obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's completely out. There's nothing like that. That's why you have a society that we have today, what we have, just because of that, you know. So you have this. Okay, well, let's keep going here. There's a circle of this blessing here that's in Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 6 here, verses 1 to 3. You know, and God wants us to have this here submission to parent or authority because of it. He says submission to parents means honoring and obeying. And that's what he says here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He says he wants us to honor this. Submission is honoring and obeying. And within this circle, you know, they have this here, what he says here, that it may be well. It's going to be well with you, and you're going to live a long life on the earth, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, if you submit to this, this is what he's saying here in his word, you know, and things will do be well, you know, if we do this. It's imperative that a child learns to honor and obey their parents, you know. That's something that you want to really stress in these early years, honoring and obeying you, you know. No matter what you have to do, sometimes yes, does it hurt you sometimes to do some of these things that you have to do to get them to honor and obey you? It will. But in the long run, in the end, it's going to be the best thing that you can do for that child, you know. You've got to teach them, you know. It's that safety factor that's there, you know, that by honoring and obeying the parents, you know, they got that safety circle, if you want to call it, and like I said, it's that ye may be well, he says, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's that safety factor that he gives you there as we go through these things. So children need to do these things. The parent must quickly restore the child to proper relationship to God if they get out of the will of God, you know, get out of the way that they're supposed to be doing. A child needs to be returned to this circle of blessing if he goes the other way, so that he can enjoy this here good, that it's going to be well with them and that they can have this here long life here in this earth. So it's safety or danger, you know. The circle of submission to parental authority is in place, and it's the safety factor of it. So we have to have these kind of things. Now, how can we do some of this? We need to rescue them. How do you think that you can rescue them from this if they go the wrong way? The Bible talks about it. two things. The rod. That's one of them. There's another one. Communication. A lot of parents don't have communication. They'll either give them the rod and that's it and won't communicate, or they'll communicate and not give the rod. You know, the two go together, you know. You got to move your child back from this pearl of rebellion and disobedience and back to this safety, this circle of safety. And this is how you rescue them, you know. They disobeyed God, they disobeyed mom and dad, you know, and they've got to get back to that understanding that, you know, that mom and dad is under God's authority, they are under God's authority, you know. And when you're teaching them these things, you need to always bring God involved in it, you know. When you're communicating to them, listen, you disobeyed mom or dad, okay? You're talking to them. You disobeyed. Now, how do you think God feels? You know, you're disobeying. Now, if I don't give you a spanking for disobeying me, you know, I'm disobeying God. You see, you got to keep this in their minds at all times, that they're under God's authority and so that they can be under your authority, you see. And we rescue them from this. We get them back to this safety factor by doing these things, you know. We're going to be talking about this too also a little later on about spanking and things like that, using the rod and stuff. So we have this. We have this circle, like I said, it's a circle that's drawn. You have the honor and the obeying, the obedience. And then you have the be well and the they may live long in this earth, you know. And you want to keep them there. You want to keep them in this. And so we do this. So the next thing that we're going to be talking about is the honoring defiled and things like that there. But I got to quit there today. Questions or comments on anything?
Can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
Children also can be influenced by their other friends or parents. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not saved or whatever. And it comes to their mind that we'd say, we know Satan is there, is in control against the family setting. But they get the itchy ears, which we know that's in the Bible, and they want to go and they want to do that. And then they can try to influence the other children. The good children are being reared proper in God's Word. Well, Johnny isn't doing that. You probably heard that. Mary doesn't have to do that. You have to still follow through because those other ones, the parents and the children, they don't want your way. They want their own way.
Yes, and we have to watch, just what you're saying there, we have to watch that this world doesn't influence them, you know. And the world can influence anybody.
The world doesn't influence us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. You know.
And the mom and dad are both on the same page, too, because that can be a problem if they're not consistent between parents.
Mom said I didn't have to do
well.
Yeah. Right. Dad can come home, he's tired, frustrated from work, had a bad day or something like that there, and then he does take it out on the kids. But like you're saying, it should be something done right then and there, yes. And then when Dad comes home, let Dad also help take care of it, you know, the problem. So you're not just getting it by one, you're getting it by both parents, mother and father, you know.
And so. A good thing when you're correcting the child, I mean, I'm not the perfect parent, is have a little discussion with them. You know why? They sometimes don't want to talk to them. What's wrong? I was bad. then you get them to talk. What did you do? Mm-hmm. And you have a little conversation with them, then discipline them. Mm-hmm. And it pays off in the end, maybe not right away. But
these are things that we're going to be talking about. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Yep, you're hitting it right on the button. Okay, we'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the day. We ask you to be with us now as we go our separate ways here, Father. And as we come back here now to hear your word, we thank you for it. We just ask now that you will just be with us. And thank you, Father, for your guidance and direction this day. Praise you for being that awesome God that you are, Father. You are. Help us to teach our kids to know that you're the one that created them. You're the one that created these things around us, the trees, the animals, and just all things that they love and things like that, Father. Help us to be the kind of parents, Lord, like that to teach them. We ask for that you would be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.